Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love each and every one in this whole wide world. And Lord, we thank you that your word tells us where one or two are gathered together in your name, that you will be in the midst by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will take control of me this morning. Lord, give me the power to deliver the message that you have laid on my heart with your authority. And Lord, that we will hear individually what it is you've got to say to each one of us that's useful to make us more fitting and to grow stronger in our faith and become more like your Son day by day. So Lord, just be with us this morning, we pray, and speak to each one of us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now the reading I've chosen today, I'm sure you're well aware of it, is quite a familiar bit. It's from John 15, 5 to 17. And it reads, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. Quite a powerful bit of scripture. And the title of this morning's message is, guess, love is the key. Love is the key. You know, without love, the love of God, we would all be struggling a lot more than what we are at present. You know, but if you were to ask people today, what do you think love is? Can you imagine all the different answers that you would get? Some may say, well, it's all about how you feel about someone. Others will say, well, it's about how others make you feel. And you enjoy their company. That's why you love them. That's not the love I want to talk about today. The love I'm talking about this morning is made very clear, as we can read from 1 John 4 verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Straight to the point. Now that suggests to me that the only true love any of us has can only come from a relationship with God, because God is love and he loved us first. We read in 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. You know, if only the human race could have all of those qualities, what a better place we would be in today. You know, when we consider all that's going on in this world today, there seems little evidence of that love. In fact, I would suggest that there is more pride and boasting than there is love. And personally, I can't remember a time when there wasn't conflict in some part of this world or other. I'd be in ex-military. I know of the things which were happening in Cyprus whenever the Turks invaded, the Falkland War. You know, that's just to mention a few. But more recently, we have come up against recent conflicts which have started now. Today, the ongoing conflict between Russia and Ukraine, for instance, which has been on the news recently. And it's been going on now for over 3.5 years. You know, it only seems like yesterday it started, doesn't it? High time flies. But it started on the 24th of February, 2022, and it's ongoing at present. Then, of course, there was the killing of the 1,143 people by Hamas when they invaded a music festival. And then they abducted a number of people, innocent people as well. Man's inhumanity to man. What was the cause of the conflict then between Israel and Hamas in Gaza? I'm sure we've all seen it on TV reports. But it's all been one-sided because the Israelis haven't allowed reporters into Gaza. So all of the photos that we have seen could well be propaganda photos showing what they wanted the world to see. But that's man being deceitful. And that's not love. There's a little bit of hope at present concerning the ceasefire in Gaza. But when we listen to the press and watch the news and see what's happening, there's a lot of concern as just how long that peace is going to last. Now, should we be surprised by what's going on in the world today? What is the biggest cause of trouble we hear of today? It's quite simple. It's us. It's mankind. It's our human nature that causes all the problems. Our greed, our pride, just all the things which don't equate to love. Romans 3:23 makes it quite clear, as we've already said today, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So really, we can think things and we can judge things from a human point of view, but there is only one judge that everyone will have to answer to, and that's our Lord and Savior. He will be the judge at the end. Another problem that arises from these conflicts is that they usually attract protest marches, don't they? We've seen it on the TV. Recent events have proved. We've seen it on TV where people turn out peacefully at first, but then they get troublemakers getting in there, stirring the crowd up. And what do we end up with? We end up with a lot of violence against people, a lot of police being hurt, and an awful lot of criminal damage to property and buildings. It just doesn't help. It just goes to prove how foolish we humans can be. You know, we can't forget that you cannot fight fire with fire. There's only one thing that works, and that is love, true love. Love is the key. 1 Peter 4, verse 8 reads, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." You know, if people truly loved each other, they could have peaceful protests and get your point across. But whenever that love turns to hate and the hate gets in there, it gets ugly and a lot of innocent people get hurt. Should we be surprised that mankind just seems to stumble from one conflict to another then? I don't believe so. And I don't think we should be surprised, because if you know your scripture, if you look at Matthew 24, 6 to 8, we read, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that none of you are alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are just the beginning of birth pains." And I don't know if you watched the news this morning, but our old friend in Hawaii, the volcano has erupted again and started to flow. But they're well used to it there, and they benefit from it because the island is getting a little bit bigger after each eruption as it all flows into the sea. Should we be afraid? No, not if we belong to the Lord. We need to remember that God is still in control. He's still on the throne, and nothing, absolutely nothing, happens without his say-so. You know, and if we enjoy fellowship with him, we can rely on all of his promises. And as we've already heard this morning, going to John 10, 7, or 27 to 30, it's all about sheep again. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." What a wonderful promise that is, to know the security that you have once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now, that's what love is. That is it's a key to eternal life and fellowship forever with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's not a sentimental feeling. It's much more than that. It's unconditional, it's sacrificial, and forgiving love. As we can read from John 3, 16 to 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." You know, in that passage, you see the three elements of agape love, pure love. And they're clear and evident there, unconditional. By unconditional, it means that it's available to whoever believes. But there is a condition. It's not totally unconditional. They've got to believe. That's the only condition. But it's unconditional to who can avail themselves of that gift. The second one, the sacrificial bit, he sent his Son into the world to save the world through him going to the cross and hanging there, bearing all of our sins, both future, past, and present. Once you've accepted Jesus, from the moment you accept him, you receive eternal life. So if you wonder how long eternal life is, you're living it now. And it ain't going to end. You may not remain here much longer. Hopefully, I'm looking forward to going home. And if it should be before the rapture, so be it. But whatever way, I know what the future holds for me. And I know who holds that key. And that key is love. And love comes from the Father. So God loves me. And he loves you. He loves you all. And all he wants is you to reciprocate. And to accept his Son. And to love him. You know, if you're listening to this message this morning, I'd like to point out that just as it requires two elements to produce life, the egg and the sperm must meet to produce human life. It also requires two elements. It requires the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to enable anyone to be born again. If you have not as yet made the decision to accept God's one and only Son as your Lord and Saviour, I seriously pray that you will consider the alternative, which is eternal separation from God. But it's important to remember that it is a personal decision. Only you can make it. No one can make it for you. The choice is yours. And I trust that you consider it seriously and make the right decision. Because I'm sure that our loving Heavenly Father would love to see as many people as possible, every one of you, in heaven. It's big enough to accommodate us all. I don't know exactly what's going to be there, but I know when we get there's going to be no more pain, no more hearing aids, no more glasses, false teeth, limps, no matter, no forgetfulness. You know, it'd be fantastic. And you'll have energy. You'll not need to sleep half a nap in the afternoon. You're going to be able to go on. You're going to glow with radiance. Because we know that Jesus is going to be the light there. There'll be no need for a sun and the moon to rule the day. It's going to be a glorious place, heaven. I can't tell you what it's all like because I don't know. But I know from the promises that I read off in Scripture that I am happy and pleased that the Lord chose me and accepted me to be his son, his brother, and you as brothers and sisters. So let's just thank the key of love, our Lord and Father, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that your Son was willing to be obedient to you and to go to the cross to pay the price for our redemption so that we could come back into fellowship with you. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with us this coming week. Help us to take what you've got to say to us from this word this morning, and to weave it into our life, helping us to grow more and more into the likeness of your Son. And Lord, we look forward to his return, and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Lord, we just bless you and thank you for all your mercy, your grace, but most of all, your love, through which we can enter into fellowship with you again. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.